broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears with you here on a Tuesday morning, Tuesday, April the 26th, 2022. Last Tuesday in the month of April, 16 minutes past the hour, 44 degrees and cloudy here in Marion. We have got a great show for you this morning. We are 1 week away from the Ohio primary. Now, I want to let you know very quickly what's coming up in hour number two this morning. We're going to be joined by our mayor of the city of Marion, Scott Schertzer, who is the Democratic candidate for treasurer of the state of Ohio. And he'll fill us in on that and also what's going on here in the city of Marion. But for the whole hour here, hour number one, we are going to talk with a gentleman who's involved in a primary, a Republican primary, next Tuesday. It's a big one. It's for the governor of the state of Ohio. Mike DeWine, of course, the incumbent governor, and one of his challengers is former Ohio Congressman Jim Renacci. Mr. Renacci, so glad you could join us this morning.
Well, good morning, Scott. Glad to be with you.
Here we are, 7 days out. How do you feel?
Well, I feel pretty good. Look, one thing about Ohio, it's a big state. A lot of people know who Mike DeWine is. They know what he's done. They've known about the lockdowns and shutdowns. They've known about a state that has really lost its way, not competing anymore nationally. And what they're trying to find is who they could vote for to replace him. And that's really the feeling of the Republicans. You know, 35% have said they will never vote for Mike DeWine again. Another 16% say they're looking for somebody else. So, you know, our polling shows that this is going to be a very tight race because there is about a 60% anti-DeWine vote. It's being split by a couple people. But right now, everything we see shows that DeWine and Renacci are at a very close. It's a very close race. We appear to be leading by a couple points, and we're hoping that we can continue to be there a week from now.
It's interesting you mentioned the polls, and polls are interesting these days. Now a poll that we have here from April 13th through 14th, I believe it's the Trafalgar poll, shows, and there definitely is an anti-DeWine vote in the Republican Party, because Mike DeWine is only polling 40% in these polls, but it's the problem seems to be that you are polling 26%, but Joe Blystone, who is also considered an anti-DeWine candidate, is polling 24%, which is 50% of the vote. Now, if those votes were put together, it would be an easy win for either you or Blystone against DeWine, also 10% undecided in the column. Is Joe Blystone hurting you in this election?
Well, Joe Blystone's hurting the people of Ohio in the election because it is a problem that could cause Mike DeWine to get another 4 years. Now, again, polls are, that poll there was about 1,000 people. I can't remember. What's more important is that we have a company that called, we anticipate approximately 900,000 Republican voters. We've called those 900,000 Republican voters seven or eight times, almost 6 or 7 million phone calls. We've talked live to 314,000 of them and asked them the same question, Renacci, DeWine, the other candidates are undecided. And that's where our numbers are coming from. So our last set of numbers were 39 Renacci, 34 DeWine, 20 other candidates, and 10 undecided, approximately somewhere around that. We've also seen another internal poll that was 35 Renacci, 35 DeWine, 20 other candidates, and 10 undecided. So if you look at those numbers, that's up here, and I always chuckle because if we're talking to 314,000 Republicans out of 900. Anybody that's polling is probably taking 1,000 sample out of those 314,000, because the other 600,000 aren't answering the phone, nor do they want to answer the phone. So we feel pretty good about our numbers, but absolutely, this is going to be a close race between DeWine and Renacci, and the other individual in the race will only cause Mike DeWine to win if for chance that's the way the numbers work out.
As you just spoke there, your polling that you have shows that other is about 20% in both of those polls. The other does seem to be an anti-DeWine vote. With 7 days left to go, do you think Joe Blystone and anybody else at this point should get out of this race?
Well, look, that's going to be up to them. I think at this point, I'm just hoping the voters take a good look at the candidates. I have a plan at jimrenacci.com. You could see what my plan is for Ohio. I can tell you that Blystone just goes around complaining, and God bless him. That's anybody can go around and complaining and saying I'm running as the complaining candidate. But you want to have somebody who not only is upset with DeWine, but somebody who has a real plan for Ohio, and that's what I have. So if people look, they'll see there's things I want to do, like education. I want to, you know, eliminate CRT, social emotional learning. I want to eliminate comprehensive sex education for especially kindergarten through third grade. I want to make sure that biological men only compete with men, and I want to allow for education to be mobile. So these are just a couple ideas that we're talking about that we're going to do day one, which is very important to people. But I've got others. I've got about a 14-point plan. We have to cut spending. We have to change our tax system. I want to make Ohio the powerhouse it used to be. Today we can't compete. I have that plan. I'm just hoping that the people who are anti-DeWine say, you know what, not only am I anti-DeWine, but I'm pro-Ohio, and I want to make a difference with a person who has a track record, who has a background experience who can do this, and I'm going to vote for Jim Renacci, and that's our goal.
I just have one more question here about the polling as we go into next Tuesday. The early polls in the year, the January 11th through 13th poll, you were polling above DeWine, quite a bit above DeWine, 46% to 38%, a poll that was taken in May of 2021, a year ago. You had 42%, DeWine had 34%. The first poll that Blystone showed up in is the poll where you dropped in percentage. Blystone got 20%, you got 23%, and DeWine got 41%. DeWine's numbers have not gone up a whole lot in a year, 34% to 40%. But the problem seems to be that the anti-DeWine vote is being split between you and Joe Blystone, mostly. Now we do have Ron Hood, but he's about 2%. That seems to be the Jim Renacci problem at this point, because you were polling well ahead of DeWine.
Well, there is no doubt since we started this race, if it was a head-to-head race between Jim Renacci and Mike DeWine, Jim Renacci would win. So that's, again, gets back to the voters. What do they want, and what do they want to see in Ohio? It's always going to – but you hit the nail on the head, which I have to make sure people do hear, and you say that. This governor has never gotten anywhere. You know, if you add all the polls up I've seen, and I've now seen 20, this governor averages about 36% of the Republican vote, maybe 37. At best, that's what he can do. So if that's the case, why would anybody want him back as a Republican? And we don't. But there is the anti-Republican vote that is being split. And again, it is so important that people make a decision next Tuesday and hopefully go with the candidate who can change Ohio and make a difference. There are big differences between myself and the other two candidates vying for the anti-DeWine vote. I just ask people to take a look at the candidates and make a difference. One of them, Joe Blystone, may not even be qualified at some point, because he has three elections commission's violations filed against him. He has a lawsuit filed against him. He filed his ethics report improperly. I mean, he is He is asking to be the governor of the state of Ohio with an $80 billion budget, yet he's not been able to file a campaign report for $150,000, which is really, really serious issues.
Mr. Renacci, and just one more question about Joe Blystone here. What do you think it is about him that is appealing to voters? Because when we talk about the other anti-DeWine vote, it's really the Blystone vote. The Real Clear Politics poll that went from February 25th through April 14th showed him at 21%. I don't see a poll where Joe Blystone has polled below 20% since he got in this election. What is it about him that Ron Hood does not have, that other candidates don't have? What's his appeal?
Well, I don't know what his appeal is. If I look at him, I would not hire him to cut my grass. I mean, I don't say that in a derogatory manner. I just look at him and say, here's a guy who's had some problems his entire life. But he calls himself the outsider, and because he's the outsider, people just look at that. They gravitate. Here's a problem in our election system, Scott. People gravitate to the person who they look at. And by the way, this is a major problem in our election system. We like people because they feel like they're one of us, or we like people because, you know, we like what they said, or they showed up and shook our hand. I've been saying this for years. In the end, we vote, many cases, for people we like that aren't qualified. It's one of the reasons why we have a broken electoral system, because people don't take the time to evaluate the background and experiences of the person they're voting for. And then what they do is they vote for somebody they like that's unqualified. But not just in this race. I think this happens all across our country. People like this guy, this person, this woman or man that it just seems like they're an outsider but hasn't done enough background and experience evaluation on them to realize they're not qualified. And I think that really happens all the time. Look at the other election polls. You know, I go back to my Senate race in 2018, my Senate primary. There was a woman who kind of traveled around like Joe Blystone, had very little money, but she still got 13-14% of the vote. She was the outsider. And sometimes people love the outsider. Too often the outsider isn't qualified, and that becomes a problem.
It's interesting because clearly for a year now you have made the case of why you are better suited than Mike DeWine and why you are different than Mike DeWine. And it looks as if Mike DeWine's going to get somewhere between 35-40% of the vote those are the people who still support him. At this point, with 7 days to go, isn't it really the case that you need to separate yourself from Joe Blystone at this point and make the case as to why the anti-DeWine people should vote for you and not him?
Well, it's one of the things I've just been trying to do here on your show, but I would tell you that, look, our path to victory, yeah, Mike DeWine's going to travel the state in the next week trying to tell people how good he is. We have to continue to tell people how bad he is and how bad he's been. We have to keep his vote down. And then we have another plan, you know, another strategy, which is we also have to try and win as many of the other votes, the anti-DeWine votes. So our goal is a two-pronged goal, making sure people remember who Mike DeWine is, at the same time making sure they realize who the better challenger is. The interesting thing about the other anti-DeWine vote, they're just anti-me. If you look at their campaigns, you know, it's just anti-Renacci, anti-Renacci. It's almost like, and many people say, are they really in this to support DeWine? It's always anti-Renacci, anti-Renacci. I've never seen a race like this where I'm trying to defeat an incumbent and the other anti-DeWine candidates are trying to defeat me. So I'm hoping that people realize that and say, wait a minute, what we really need is a candidate who can not only defeat DeWine, but can move our state in the right direction. And I'm the only one that qualifies for that. And I hope people, if they take a good look, come my way and realize that we have a plan and we can make a difference.
If next Wednesday morning it turns out that Mike DeWine does win the primary, will the reason be that the other anti-DeWine candidates just took too much of the vote?
Well, absolutely. And look, as I said, we have multiple polls over the last year that show a Renacci against DeWine. Renacci wins significantly. And the goal has to be, as I say, to continue to make sure that Mike DeWine's numbers do not go up. He's going to be spending money today. He's going to be in Stark County talking about how I'm going to give you more money in Stark County. And what people fear is that, well, wait a minute, will Renacci continue to give us that money? Because remember, that money won't come for a while. So this is what he does. He travels around the state, talks about how much money I'm going to give you, and then he puts a little bit of fear by saying, well, you know, that might not happen if you don't reelect me. So that's his game plan. How does he continue forward? My game plan has to be say, don't be fooled. Remember what he's done. And at the same time, I'm the most qualified. But yes, no doubt, a Renacci against DeWine, Renacci would be the nominee a week from now. We'll just have to see where the numbers go. And my goal will be to continue to try and convince people that I am the best candidate to move the state forward.
If Joe Blystone ends up getting more votes than you next Tuesday, what does that say to you about this whole primary process?
Well, I don't know how that can happen, but I guess if it does, it shows that his people turned out. Remember, turnout is the key. No matter what the poll says, no matter what anything says, if Renacci voters stay home and DeWine voters stay home, then Joe Blystone could win this thing, but that's not going to happen. You know, it's all about turnout. Always turnout, turnout, turnout. So depending on where the numbers go, it will be who turned out. Too often in primaries, people just don't go and vote. Think about it. In 2018, there was only approximately 840,000 Republicans that voted. That's dismal when you have a state with 10.7 million people. So it will always be turnout. Look, elections are not won because, in many cases, because the right candidate wins. Sometimes it's just because the turnout for that candidate showed up to vote. It's that simple. It's all about who turns out next Tuesday.
Since the beginning of the year, a lot of Mike DeWine's ads have revolved around the upcoming Intel plant. What do you make of the Intel plant? Is that good or bad for Ohio? And what do you make of Governor DeWine's use in his ads of the Intel plant?
Well, here's what's interesting. I mean, Governor DeWine is touting an Intel plant that will generate approximately 2,000 jobs someday, but he forgets to tout that he lost 150,000 jobs since he's been governor. So, again, politicians will always tout what they believe is that what they want people best to hear about them. What I always challenge them is, great, you're going to spend $2.5 billion to bring in a plant in to bring 2,000 jobs, which isn't guaranteed, by the way, because the tech bill has to pass in Washington, D.C. before this will ever happen. But that's what you're gambling on, $2.5 billion of taxpayers' money, and yet you lost 140,000 jobs since you took over. You know, the state, whether it's a Republican National Committee who's ranked Ohio at 32nd in recovery versus the Massachusetts study, which ranked us as a D, a failing grade, Ohio is failing under Governor DeWine's leadership, and he wants to tout something that actually is going to cost the taxpayers $2.5 billion. Now, I'll also tell your listeners about one other thing. There was a study done by the University of Akron in November 2020, that said Ohio is falling behind. They cannot compete anymore. One of the reasons they indicated Ohio is falling behind is because we're still using 20th century economic policies in the 21st century, which is we are still paying companies to come here. They even are saying that is not the right move. They are saying, and I 100% agree with this, You have to change your economic policies to make the state more business friendly, more tax friendly, more people friendly. We can't be the seventh most left state in the country, which is one of our problems right now. People are leaving. We have to be a state that people are coming to and businesses are coming to because of the economic climate here. And that's one of the places that Governor DeWine has failed.
It's kind of interesting because we had an episode at the Oscars a few weeks ago with Will Smith slapping Chris Rock, and character seems to matter a lot in the world, but character seems to be changing over time. And at the Cattle Expo down at Beef Expo down in Columbus a few weeks ago, Joe Blystone and Mike DeWine seemed to get into a little dust up in which Blystone was asking DeWine, "Why won't you debate me?" And DeWine said, "I'm going to kick your," a word that we can't say on the air, basically rear end, but people know what the word is. What did you make of that confrontation?
Well, I'm not sure what to make of it. I think both of them look bad there. I mean, I've walked up in when there were rooms with both of those individuals and shook their hand. I don't need to get into the confrontation. But we did have the opportunity to debate. All of us had the opportunity to debate on a radio, there was a Cleveland.com yesterday actually had an endorsement interview where all of us were allowed to be present and talk and exchange. And it's interesting because the Governor DeWine did show up finally, and I showed up as well, but the other candidate did not. So, you know, sometimes it's all talk and no action. I have challenged that same individual multiple times to debate. You know, he's been invited to a number of forums where he could have got on with me, and he decided not to. So I'm not sure if that's just not all talk. But I will say the pushing and all that doesn't really look good for either of them, and it's one of the reasons why neither of them should move forward after next Tuesday.
If you do not win the primary next Tuesday, will you support DeWine in the Maine, or would you support a Blystone in the Maine election?
Look, I'm going to support the most conservative individual that I can with the qualifications to move our state forward. So until we get past next Tuesday, I really can't make a decision. My opinion is I'm going to win next Tuesday. But I would really have to see what the alternatives are come November. There's a couple independent candidates, I understand, trying to get in. So I think making a decision now is premature. Who will be the most conservative Republican on the ballot? And that's who I will vote for. Or if I see no conservative individuals on the ballot or people who can't run the state well, you know, then it'll be an interesting decision, but I will wait until November to make that decision. I know a lot of people say, "Oh, you should only support the person who wins the primary." No, I should support the person who I believe is the most conservative Republican on the ballot in November.
With everything that you have said about Governor DeWine, is there any circumstance you could see where you could ever support him at this point?
Well, it depends on who he's running against. The biggest problem I have is sometimes when you have two bad candidates and you select the better of the two, you end up with the same problems you had going forward. So I just don't know. I really would have to think through that. But Governor DeWine has had his chance. He's been around for 45 years. Our state is declining in multiple areas. You know, drug addiction's up, corruption's up. One of the biggest problems I have with Governor DeWine is that he's the leader of our state, and we're number one in corruption, and yet he has done nothing to fix that. And the reason he has done nothing is because he survives off the donations that are coming in many cases through these pay-for-play schemes, which are legal in Ohio, which need to be stopped. And so it's very disappointing to say, well, I'm going to support a guy no matter what, who has taken our state to the number one most corrupt state in the country. That's the issue. That's why 35% of Republicans say they will never vote for him again, and another 16% say they will look to see who the other candidate is. That's 51% of Republicans that are disenchanted with this governor.
If 35% of Republicans will never vote for Mike DeWine again, and he does win this primary because of the split anti-DeWine vote, does that mean we elect a Democrat for governor in November?
That means that Republicans will have to make a decision in November whether they hold their nose and vote for Mike DeWine or they don't vote at all. And I think that is the biggest challenge for Republicans. If we nominate Mike DeWine, he may lose to a Democrat because Republicans will not vote for him in November. And there are several polls out there that show that. The only thing the Republican Party will say, well, wait till November. We'll convince people that he is better than a Democrat candidate. Well, isn't that sad that you have to convince people? And by the way, isn't it sad that a sitting Republican governor in a state cannot get over 40% approval among his party members? That shows you that the party has absolutely, and especially I'll speak of the ORP who endorsed Mike DeWine, they're endorsing a candidate that Republicans do not support.
Between 35% and 40% that Mike DeWine, the vote that he still gets, who are those people? This is a Republican
those are the individuals that, you know, either lobby Mike DeWine, they've gotten positions from Mike DeWine, they've gotten jobs from Mike DeWine, so they like Mike DeWine. They're also the people who really do not take the time to look at the people that are running, or they're the people that really forget about what Mike DeWine did a couple years ago, but they just heard that he's going to give us, you know, $50 million for broadband and say, I really like that idea. So, you know, let's face it, there's all types of voters, and voting really only matters on election day. That's why polls do not matter. Polls only trend things, but polls don't matter. So there will be Republican voters who say, you know what, I've made a lot of money off of Mike DeWine. I'm going to vote for him. Or the better is the Republican voter who came up to me and said, these people are in leadership, who shook my hand and said, I sure hope you win. But publicly, I'm going to continue to support Mike DeWine because I've known him. I've known him for 40 years, and I know his family, and I'm going to vote for him. But you would actually be the better governor. It's amazing when I hear that, because sometimes people do just vote based on friendship or loyalty, which is one of the reasons why the anti-DeWine vote is split, because sometimes people don't even know who I am, have no interest in knowing who I am, but they met one of the other candidates, and they support them just because they met them.
I want to get your thoughts on this. Joe Blystone was on this show about a month ago, and he stated that if he does not win this primary, he will leave the state of Ohio. What do you make of that?
Well, that tells you what kind of a candidate he is. He has said that if he does not win, he'll leave, and he probably will. He's got enough financial problems that he probably will leave, but I'm going to stick around. I mean, I want to make Ohio better. I see ways of doing that. I see ways of making a difference. And that is exactly one of the reasons why he should never be elected. Can you imagine that? Well, if I don't get my way, I'm going to pick up my toys and leave. I mean, that's exactly the attitude that he has left people. I mean, we've got him on tape saying it. I'm going to go to, you know, South Dakota. Well, go ahead. Why don't you go now? Because in the interest of Ohioans, you don't seem like you really care about Ohioans. And I hope that people have heard that, realize that, and then make the decision based on, again, who is the best qualified candidate to move the state forward. If you look at Blystone's background history and Renacci's background history, it's a pretty simple answer. You know, people say, well, especially some of his supporters, you're a career politician. And I say, really? Because I was in Congress for 8 years? Yeah, you're a career politician. Then I turn around, got and say, would you like DeSantis to be your governor? Yeah, I'd love for DeSantis to be your governor. How long has DeSantis been in politics? And they'll go, 3 years. I go, no, by 12 years. And then I'll ask the question, Kristi Noem. Do you like Kristi? Oh, I love Kristi Noem. How long has Kristi been in politics? 4 years? No, 18 years. But you like her. You like Governor DeSantis. Then I'll turn around and say, how about Jim Jordan? You love? Oh, I love Jim Jordan. How long has he been in politics? 26 years. Wow, I didn't know that. This is the problem. It's the perception. Many of those voters, Blystone voters, they think, well, just because you're in politics, we're not going to vote you back in. Yet they'll vote for Jordan. They'd vote for DeSantis. They'd vote for Kristi Noem to be governor. But Blystone has told him Jim Renacci's a career politician. I've been in business for 38 years. I've created jobs all across this state. I've employed over 3,000 people across the state. I'm a businessman who went to Washington because my car dealership was taken away from me in the 29 debacle where Obama took over General Motors. And that's what forced me to say enough, enough. And I've been fighting for this state ever since and will continue to fight for this state.
This past Saturday, former President Trump came to Ohio, held a rally in Delaware, Ohio. You were at that rally. What'd you make of that?
Well, look, President Trump is still loved in Ohio. He came in here to support his endorsed candidates, especially J.D. Vance. I mean, that was the sole purpose of that rally, was to make sure that he rallied the people behind J.D. Vance, because he knew that, you know, J.D. is an interesting pick for Ohio. And I think he realized that he better get here and try and rally people behind J.D. because he wants J.D. to win. he also was there for some of his other endorsed candidates. But what was interesting, what I told people yesterday when they asked me the question, is think about it. He did not endorse a sitting Republican governor in this state either. And that's really a telling tale as well. He came in here, stayed out of the governor's race completely. Normally, when you come into a Republican state, you're going to endorse the Republican governor. He did not do that. That should tell people enough right there that he's not behind Governor DeWine.
This is an interesting point, Mr. Renacci, because the big news was that he was endorsing J.D. Vance. Now, J.D. Vance was not leading before this rally. We have not seen the new polling for Senate. He's a little bit behind Josh Mandel. And it is true he has not endorsed anybody in the Republican primary for governor and certainly did not endorse Mike DeWine. But he also did not endorse yourself or Joe Blystone. Why do you think that is?
Well, first off, he has no idea who Joe Blystone is. I mean, that's a joke for Blystone to even think that. I talked to the president 4 weeks ago. The former president said to me, Renacci, everything I'm hearing is you're doing well. You have a character. You have some other character in there. That's the way he called him. Some other character in there who's taking votes that may hurt you. I said, yep, you're right. But I think the real reason he didn't endorse in that race is because the president, in many ways right now, wants to not engage in a race, especially with the sitting governor, where in 2024 he might have to come back here, and if he doesn't endorse, it's. And by the way, if I win, he'll say Renacci won because he's a Trump guy, and if DeWine wins, he'll say, well, DeWine got one. You know, it'll be. I endorsed DeWine in 2018. He can't lose by not endorsing in this race. And I think that's one of the reasons why he is staying out of the governor's race, which is okay. We feel pretty confident. We're in good shape right now to win. Would we like his endorsement? Sure. But I think it's an embarrassment that he did not endorse the sitting governor.
Isn't that interesting, though, that you say he can't lose by not endorsing somebody? What does that say about President Trump to you? Because he didn't endorse the lead candidate in the Senate race at this point. Vance is not leading that race. And Vance, I mean, we've seen the commercials all over the state, at one point was an anti-Trumper.
Well, look, I think you will find that President Trump, and he said this on Saturday night, that he was endorsing the person he thinks can beat the Democrat, which is kind of interesting. But I also believe, look, he's got a very close relationship with his son, let's face it, Don Jr. And Don Jr. is an adamant supporter of J.D. Vance. So that was a positive for J.D. Vance. And he's also very close to Peter Thiel, the president is. And Peter Thiel is a financial supporter of J.D. Vance. So in the end, look, you've got family in Don Jr., and you've got a personal billionaire friend in Peter Thiel getting behind J.D. Vance. I think that was one of the biggest reasons why President Trump endorsed J.D. Vance, but also that he really feels and believes that out of all the people running, J.D. is the only one who can defeat the Democrat.
Something interesting. In a race in a year when endorsements don't seem to matter a whole lot, the one endorsement in Ohio that does seem to matter is the Trump endorsement. There have been polls. The most recent poll I saw was that 54.9% of Republican voters said they were more likely to vote for the candidate that Trump endorsed. 54.9%. If Trump had endorsed anybody in this gubernatorial primary, and obviously he has endorsed people in primaries, as you've just stated, they would seem to be a shoo-in for this, but he didn't do it. How does that make you feel?
You mean in the gubernatorial race?
Yeah.
Yeah, look, I think I disagree with you. For one, I don't think he would ever endorse Blaisdell, ever. He just doesn't know him, has no clue who he is. He's not going to endorse him. I don't think he would ever endorse Mike DeWine because he knows that, you know, he sees the polls too, that there is a chunk of people behind. But he would endorse somebody who he knows for sure is going to win. All right, and that's, I think, the biggest issue for the president right now is that, you know, he's got to come back here in 2024. I mean, it's a little bit of a different situation. If he endorses J.D. Vance and J.D. Vance doesn't win, in 2024, nobody's going to be talking about that. But if he endorses an opponent in the governor's race that loses, and in 2024, he has to come back and try and win Ohio, much, much different to be coming back and now being with somebody that he did not endorse or endorse the other person. So, look, I understand where the president's at. I understand what he's doing. But, again, would I have loved his endorsement? Sure. But I think we're going to win without his endorsement, which is even stronger. It'll make our case even stronger. But that's what I see it as. Remember, you don't want – he'll be back in 2024. The last thing he wants to do is come in and say, uh-oh, I endorsed against you and you won. I'm not going to have your support.
So is that to say, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but from what you just said, is that to say that you think that President Trump isn't sure you can win by not giving you his endorsement?
Well, I think what that means is President Trump does not want to endorse against a potential person who may not win or may win. I mean, I'm not sure how to look at that. I mean, I guess I could say it either way. If he endorses me, remember, the sitting leader of the state is the governor. He never wants to pull the wrong card on the governor's race. You can pull the wrong card on a Senate race. You can pull the wrong card on a congressional race. But if you pull the wrong card on a governor's race and have to come back, you know, 2 years from now running for president, of course it's going to be difficult. I understand why he would want to hold his cards in on those races. I mean, unless the governor has gone totally out against him, which has happened down in Georgia where the governor went against Trump. Well, now the governor's going against now the president is going against the sitting governor.
Final question on this. If Trump had endorsed you, do you think you would have a better chance of winning next Tuesday? Does a Trump endorsement matter?
Well, look, I think we're going to find out. I mean, J.D. Vance, it'll be interesting to see what happens with J.D. Vance. I mean, everybody, as I travel the state, and look, I've been traveling the states since Saturday, since the endorsement, and I'm talking to Republicans, and many of them are saying, I don't care what President Trump endorsed J.D. Vance. I'm not voting for J.D. Vance. But I've also heard others who said, you know, I'm going to vote for J.D. Vance because the president endorsed him. So I don't know what the answer is. We're going to find out next week. If J.D. Vance wins, then I would tell you, and by the way, it'll be close, no matter what anybody says. That's going to be a very close race. But if J.D. Vance wins, it will be because of the president's endorsement, no other reason. But if J.D. Vance loses, then it's going to show that the president's endorsement was not significant enough to make a difference. So remember how I started out by telling you it's who shows up. One of the biggest problems is that now that the president has endorsed J.D. Vance, he has really gotten the other candidates' base fired up. So my concern is when you step into that arena and you endorse somebody like J.D. Vance, who's going to turn out now? Will the voters that really are an anti-J.D. Vance voter now turn out that maybe wouldn't have turned out? And that's one of the problems with that endorsement. We'll see. We'll see. I mean, do I think J.D. Vance got the boost with the endorsement? Sure did, because he was 10 points behind in most polls that I've seen. He is now in the game. So the president's endorsement did help him. I just don't know whether it's going to help him completely to win. So we'll see.
Who do you support in that Senate race?
You know what? I tell everybody that's their decision. When they ask me, I say, you know, you have a number of candidates. I used to silo them out and say you have the establishment candidates. You have the career politician candidates with no business background. And then you have the business candidates. And then I used to say you have the business candidates who are pro-Trump and anti-Trump. None of that matters anymore because, you know, I used to always silo J.D. as the business, one of the business candidates that was anti-Trump. You know, he and a car dealer, I forgot his name now, that stepped out. They were anti-Trump. They were anti-Trump business people. So Bernie Moreno. So Bernie Moreno and J.D. Vance, when Bernie was in, those were the two who were really anti-Trump Republicans early on. Now they've changed and they become pro-Trump, but I just always style them out and I say, look, if you want establishment, vote establishment. If you want a career politician, a conservative career politician, you know, that's Josh Mandel. And if you want the businessman candidates, it's Gibbons and J.D. Vance now.
Mr. Rennies, we have about 2 minutes left, and I want you to pitch to the voters here in a second. But the final question about this whole thing with President Trump and the rally this past Saturday, when you say that, you know, he has now endorsed somebody who was an anti-Trump candidate, he's not endorsing anybody in the gubernatorial primary because of he doesn't want to go down as supporting somebody who didn't win in the primary. Is President Trump playing the game now? Is he playing the political game of maybe I want to run again, maybe I want to get elected? So that's what they call playing politics. That's not anti-establishment. That's not an outsider's game. That's playing the game.
Well, look, I would say that President Trump now understands the system and is playing the system, sure. He knows that he has a base that he has to support. It's not the same President Trump that we knew and loved 6 or 8 years ago because he was just going to crash and burn the establishment. But in the end now, he can burn the establishment by getting reelected. He can change the way the direction of our state, our country is going by getting reelected. He does realize that the best way to get reelected is to play the game. So I think I'm not condemning him for that. I'm just saying he does understand that he has to win in 2024 if he wants to run again and win, and he has to play the game and do it.
You were one of the first to endorse him. Has it changed your opinion of him, the way this is all going down now? You're listening to...
No, because I still always like his policies. I still believe in the Make America Great policies. I still would I would still have him 100% over Joe Biden right now, and I would still support him in 2024. So it hasn't changed me from the standpoint of supporting a guy with the right policies and the right. And this is what I wish everybody would do, because if they looked at the governor's race, then I would get 75 to 80% of the vote. Because if they look at the three or four of us running, and they pick the candidate with the best policies, the best platform, even though they may not like some of the things he's done or said, we would have a Jim Renacci as governor, and I'm hoping that's what people understand.
And in our final minute here, you're speaking to the voters here in Marion County and beyond. Why should they vote for Jim Renacci next week, 1 week from today, when they go to the ballot booth?
Well, thank you. And for your listeners, I'm asking them to get to know who Jim Renacci is. Jim Renacci is a father, a husband of 38 years, a businessman of 38 years, somebody who loves this state, somebody who came here with just a couple hundred dollars and lived the American dream here in Ohio and wants to give back. Jim Renacci does have a plan. You can go and see it at jimrenacci.com, J-I-M-R-E-N-A-C-C-I.com. You'll see my vision for Ohio. I'm the only candidate that really has put out a long-term vision for Ohio, where we can change Ohio, get it back to where it was one of the top 10 powerhouse states in the country. And if you look at that plan, I'm going to my top issues day one: education, overhaul education, eliminate CRT, social emotional learning, and comprehensive sex education. Make sure that biological men only compete in men's sports. When it comes to illegal immigrations, I'm going to stop illegal immigration from coming here. When it comes to life, I'm the only one that said I will support life. I am pro-life, but I'll appoint a protector of the unborn in my administration. If you're a Second Amendment supporter, I'm also somebody who not only talks the talk but walks the walk. I carry a gun. I'm going to support your Second Amendment rights. And when it comes to mask mandates and vaccinations, I will never, ever take your constitutional right away from choice of not. If you don't want to wear a mask, you don't want to be vaccinated in the state of Ohio, you will not be forced to do that. I would ask you for your vote next Tuesday, May 3rd, I believe. I keep forgetting, but I'm asking for your vote. I'm asking, if you want to have Ohio be a state like Florida and you want a governor like DeSantis, vote for Jim Renacci, for governor of Ohio.
Mr. Renacci, it's fun conversation this morning. I thank you for coming on, and best of luck next Tuesday.
Thank you so much. You have a great day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Programming on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported by CRT.